Greetings, Earthlings. This is transmission number 41. My name is Bella.
My name is Nikki.
And we are out of our fucking minds.
Is it actually 41? Oh yeah, it is 41.
I think so.
Yeah. You always have odds and I always edit the evens. That's how I remember.
Oh, there we go. That makes sense.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
So, we're fired up because Nikki and I are really in the depths of creativity, and really, we've both been individuating ourselves, I think, even further, meaning we're really stepping into our purpose in new ways and unlocking levels of creation and action and energy and all the things. And so we've been feeling really inspired by just the topic and kind of idea of creativity, what it means to be creative. It's something that I personally create a lot of content around and have always been very curious about. And we also, I think Nikki recently listened to a podcast with Rick Rubin on it. And most people have heard of Rick Rubin in the last year because he released this book called The Creative Act, A Way of Being, which is a fantastic way. We both have our books with us. This is like a book. This is like a book report.
Reading it. Peter's reading it.
Oh, true. So yeah, Rick Rubin is an incredible person. He basically is a super successful music producer who has worked with all the goats, all the greats. And he came out with this book, I think in the last couple of years or last year or so, that's just all about creativity, but it's really from a perspective, it's very spiritual. So it really speaks to the unseen, to what, if anyone has read Stephen Pressfield's The War of Art, he speaks about resistance and the muse, which is kind of this like divine intelligence that comes through you when it's time to be creative. And it's definitely along the same lines. So like if you've read The War of Art, you would love The Creative Act. If you've read The Creative Act, you would love The War of Art. And it all really kind of attempts to bring words to the experience of creativity, which is often pretty difficult to describe, but comes with so many interesting universal challenges. So today, we thought we would do kind of a little shorty episode that serves as creative inspiration and a conversation around creativity inspired by Rick Rubin. And we're thinking of kind of like pulling a quote from the book, kind of like a tarot pull, finding a quote and then going.
But I also want to share
that
creativity is more than just what we normally think of it as, like creating art, or I should say art is more than what we normally would define it as, like what we learn art to be. And I feel like I never leaned into any of the teachings around creativity because I thought it was like for the painters and the singers and the musicians, and I'm like, okay, I'm none of those. But now that I am viewing art as just the thing that you create when you open yourself up to be a channel of any sort of like divine flow, and then you put that out into the world in a 3D material way, in any way, whether it be a song, an Instagram post, an online course, in a coaching session, like we are all artists and we're all creating nonstop with this divine matrix. So I think to expand the idea of what creativity even is will allow any listener who's like, I'm not even a creative or whatever, like, yeah, you are constantly in creation and in a two-way communication with the divine matrix, and you're creating your life at every single freaking second of your life.
I mean, I like to say that it's the most basic function of being a human is to create. I mean, every entrepreneur, whatever freaking job you have, you're literally making something out of either yourself or your energy or the materials in front of you, or in a relationship, you're creating an experience, or the list goes on. And so I feel like what's empowering is when I do see kind of a sub movement now of people reminding each other that we are all actually artists in many different ways. And it's not just, like you said, what we've been, you know, you grow up and you think of creatives and artists as people who are painting or photographing or whatever, but it goes even beyond that. And I think that reminder helps people to awaken that part of themselves. And I think that's when it can be healing, which is a whole separate sub discussion of, I think people separate themselves from even being identified as creative because they're like, no, I work in this job. Like that's not creative. And that actually is putting kind of a block on like who they really are and their ability to explore life and co-create the whole experience.
Because we all have this creative energy inside of us.
Yeah.
Every single one of us. Okay, so we should we pick a quote?
Yeah.
I have the top quotes here in like a website format if we want to lean on that too. There's just so many good quotes that he says.
There
we're
going
to dive into some of them and maybe channel our own information as we...
Yeah, I'm down. I happened to open to this page that I'm reading before to see if it feels fitting. So maybe we have to take a second to digest what the quotes in front of you, what I have here, and then we can share if something feels aligned. Oh. Oh. Okay, this is actually really perfect.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Oh, this is good. Also, I think we should play a little clip of his voice at some point in this because his voice is so angelic and like soothing and deep and like rumbly. It's really, really pleasant to listen to. I feel like people probably listen to it to fall asleep.
I was watching that Andrew Huberman podcast with him and it was just such a contrast of their energy. Like Andrew was like all like fidgety and like you could tell he was like really nervous to interview him. It was like kind of cute. He was like
he like takes notes and like, stuff.
Yeah like he was, and you could tell like he would ask a question, he would like get all like bashful and like look down and like brush it off like it's not important. And Rick Rubin is just sitting there like so
he's
poised,
so
not
meditative.
Moving once the entire time, just like, yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And he'll like ask a question and be like, but like, why do you feel that way? Or like,
yeah, he's so he's highly meditated and it shows.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want to live in a creative way, which will benefit everything in your life, be a better person in your family, be a better, if you're starting a new business, do a better job of starting a new business, it's all the same.
I mean, he's been on this journey for freaking like 40 years or something. It's crazy. Think about like, we're a few years into it. Imagine being 40 years into meditating every day and just like knowing yourself on such a deep level and also having that level of material success too. It's like,
yes,
you kind of just are in a flow where you're like, yep, this is me, either take it or leave it. But something that shocked me, and then I'll let you go into the quote, there was a part of the episode where he was talking about how he still gets backlash from people when he puts out an idea or something that like isn't considered like what the mainstream is wanting, or it's like outside of the box of what they would deem as like successful, something that could be successful. And Peter and I were just like, what the heck? Like that just proves that you can be at that level of success and still get people saying that your idea is trash. And he's like, I just don't listen to it. I just keep freaking pushing and do my thing and all works out.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. Yeah. It's like, I mean, arguably the people who are most successful will have the most polarizing creations.
Yeah. You gotta repel to attract your people.
True. Okay. This is really perfect. So this little section, the book is kind of broken down into, it's not like chapters or just like mini sections that go into a concept. So this is called The Unseen. By conventional definition, the purpose of art is to create physical and digital artifacts, to fill shelves with pottery, books, and records. Though artists generally aren't aware of it, that end work is a byproduct of a greater desire. We aren't creating to produce or sell material products. The act of creation is an attempt to enter a mysterious realm, a longing to transcend. What we create allows us to share glimpses of an inner landscape, one that is beyond our understanding. Art is our portal to the unseen world. Without the spiritual component, the artist works with a crucial disadvantage. The spiritual world provides a sense of wonder and a degree of open-mindedness not always found within the confines of science. The world of reason can be narrow and filled with dead ends, while a spiritual viewpoint is limitless and invites fantastic possibilities. The unseen world is boundless.
Mm.
It keeps going, but yeah. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, that quote was one that was on here.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
My initial thoughts are Yeah, it's so freaking true. When you have that wider perspective, that spiritual perspective on your creative journey, it expands your view of it completely, because you're no longer a one-man show trying to logically think of like ideas. You're opening yourself up and allowing this divine flow of just like data and information and energy to come through you, and you're simply the conduit for that energy to pass through and then to be materialized. And when you see it that way, the creative journey becomes more of a quest of connecting and like establishing that inner stillness and allowing it to flow through, as opposed to forcing it and like thinking your way through it.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like that's what ultimately is, that's kind of the high that you get from getting over like the resistance and the self-doubt and everything that is keeping you from the metaphorical like easel.
Mm.
And on the other side is that feeling of connecting to something that is literally unseen and that you can't explain, and that you don't even want to explain it. Like, you don't want science to figure it out, because you just want to feel it and experience it and like open your heart and your chest and your whole body to the sensation of becoming one with whatever that desire is, whatever like that spark of inspiration comes from. And my personal experience with that has always been, that's why like dance as a form of expression is honestly addicting, because that high that you get afterwards, it's obviously a mix from like the physical sort of like exercise benefits of it, but then you literally watch yourself become this channel to the divine, and you're like, you just sync up with this higher version of yourself, and you're like, oh, that's why I have like this soul pull. My soul is pulling me into this activity, into writing and just starting this company, because I want to be in the creative act, because it's bigger than just what I'm making.
Who do you feel like you unbecome in that process?
I mean, I think you drop a lot of conditioning and boxes and labels and like all of the typical stuff that we would normally latch onto for a sense of false safety falls away, because you are in that flow state where you're transcending like your physical form in some way. Like, you're both you can be tapping into it further because you're in this appreciation of the 3D and the physical and the manipulation of matter, but you're also going beyond it. So then you're leaving behind the confines of the conditioned world that we all, you know, contribute to.
So do you think that, what's your view on, because obviously that process of releasing, and like, let's use you dancing, for example, in two episodes ago, you were talking about how you just get beyond the mind and you access this like state of being where you're just really deeply in the present moment. Do you feel like, because we get better at that process, that the art also evolves as you evolve? And like, what is that process of evolution of the actual creative thing look like, I guess, in your personal journey? Does it get better? Does it change? Like, would you say that it gets better or it just evolves?
I want to say that it gets better, but put like air quotes around it, because I do think though that generally, like, for example, the idea of, you know, the 10,000 hours and like the practice and putting the years in of mastery, I think that has a lot of truth to it in terms of both a function of time, but I think it's also just a function of the more that you are in practice of, to get out of the way of the mind, you have to be in the present. And that's obviously an eternal idea that is not bound by space and time. So there's two sides to it. It's like, for one, when you just put in the time of showing up to the practice, whatever it is, consistently, you're like adding up all of the time and space and energy that you're spending being away from the logical mind, the conditioning, the fears, whatever. And so then you are spending more time as you really are. And then it's like, I think you can dip out of that every once in a while. That's like the oscillation of the remembering journey. So I think that's one part of it. And then, yeah, I do think you pick up wisdom from every time you endeavor to be creative, you're picking up wisdom on like how to do it better and how to almost get into that state quicker, or how to understand the phases of creativity, or how to overcome resistance that you're like, it literally shows up every single time, but I'm more wise to it. So then I can get into my flow faster. But it's both. Like, I think I've had, it's actually last night I was looking at, I have this highlight on my Instagram that is called shuffling. And I realized I have been shuffling for almost 5 years now. And I didn't realize it's been that long. But I was looking back at my progression over the years. And first of all, like, I look at these videos and I know for a fact that I, as either who I am right now or whatever my highest self is, was guiding me then. Because I would go and dance like in public, like in my apartment building, in the pool that was literally like the center of all the apartment buildings around. So like windows everywhere, people could be watching. And I would just go with headphones and practice shuffling. And I was at the beginning, so I wasn't, you know, good back then. And I was watching these videos over the years, and there was both like the progression of getting better over time, but there are moments where I literally improved actually overnight because of shifts that I had made internally. Like when I quit my job, my 9-to-5 at Jubilee, like my, it wasn't a corporate job, but my 9-to-5 job, I overnight got better at shuffling because I was more liberated in my sense of self. Ooh. So there's been like quantum leaps in my art and my skill that didn't have to do with the function of time, but had to do with the function of energy. At the same time, because I've been going at it for 4 or 5 years, there's like the accumulation of time under your belt and like the 10,000 hours that add to the confidence and the skill and like expand the toolbox that you're pulling from. Like any writer or whatever you're going to be doing, is the function of time that makes you better. But there's also the unseen energetic shift. And that's, I think, the wisdom you pick up subtly from not giving into resistance, or from the spiritual inner shifts. And this is, I think, what this quote is speaking to, is like the spiritual component unlocks more creativity, because that's where it's like in the quantum and it doesn't have to do with space and time, and it can be instantaneous.
Oh my God, so good. I'm having so many realizations as you're talking about like the more quantum energetic aspect, and then there's also the strategy and the skill aspect. It's making me think about what people say with running businesses these days. It's like 80% energetics and understanding how to like manifest and be magnetic and all those things, and then like 20% strategy. And I feel like that can be applied to any process, and maybe it will sway a little bit here and there depending on the process, but there is an aspect of your creative act that is kind of just like rooted in the 3D. It's not that much, but it just is. Yeah. And it doesn't change your ability to, I don't know, I'm trying to word what I'm thinking about, but I'm getting this like very clear breakdown of like, okay, yeah, maybe there are some times where we need to just like learn the skill. Yeah. And it comes through practice and just doing it. And then there's also the energetic aspect of this. So I'm just trying to think for anyone listening, like if you are in any sort of like creative act or you're starting a business, it really just does take the 80% of like learning how to open yourself up and to release any of those perceptions of self or fears or limitations that are blocking that flow. And then 20% of it is like, you just got to freaking do it and understand that there's going to be points of messing up or quote unquote failure that allow you to like fine tune that 20%. And that is ever evolving, and the other side is ever evolving.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Like it's exactly, it's, I think you're kind of seeing the merit of the unseen world and then like the very 3D physical world, which is where you're currently playing in when you are trying to bring the spirit world into form, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like, so much art is literally that, is like we're trying to take something from the ethereal and put it into something that people can experience with our five senses. So yeah, I think that gives you that motivation to do both of like, if you've been putting in the hours and you've been showing up and doing it, but you feel like you're not improving, then like there's probably the energetic or the spiritual or the unseen that needs to be tended to. Or the opposite, like you're doing all the unseen energetic work, but then at some point, like the there needs to be the action part of taking the physical, you know, bringing your physical form into the process.
Right. One cannot exist without the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am interrupting the episode with a really exciting announcement. And that announcement is who will be hosting our April workshop within the Omi's Oasis. Now, if you're hearing this and you're like, I don't even know what the Omi's Oasis is, well, let me inform you. The Omi's Oasis is our community membership that is only $25 a month. And what you get out of it is next level magic. You get to join in on a beautiful Slack community of beautiful souls who are literally walking side by side with you on the path that you're on right now. And we talk all things manifestation, overcoming fears, challenges, what we're facing in our life. We talk about downloads we're getting, revelations we're having. It is so beautiful to see all the different people that are coming in and joining this community, and the conversations that we're having are super freaking expansive. And it's a really, really inviting community where we have people at all different levels and stages of their career and their life path. And it's just freaking beautiful. Now, on top of the Slack community, we also have monthly workshops where Bella and I will bring on coaches, healers, artists, creatives, business experts. For example, our last workshop was with Jenny Adishian, who is an intuitive and a channel, and she taught us how it is we can begin to channel and tap into our intuition. And then she led us through a really powerful, active dance meditation that was freaking insane. Now, our April workshop will be hosted by subconscious healer Sarah Zula. Now, if you are not sure who Sarah Zula is, you definitely want to go to Instagram and follow her ASAP and start binging all of her content. Sarah is a subconscious freedom coach who has been such a pivotal part in my personal journey. I worked with Sarah one-on-one for 6 months, and then I've been in a bunch of her group programs, and she has been not only a coach to me, but also a mentor and a guide as I'm navigating my career path. And she is quite literally one of the top reasons why I am here, able to be on this podcast and creating all the things that I'm creating with my career. She has helped me unlock a level of inner power and inner peace that now I am able to share with other people and help other people do. And her teachings have changed my freaking life and have changed me as a person as well. So you definitely are going to want to get in on this workshop. Like, the fact that it's only $25 for this monthly membership and we're getting access to all these beautiful healers and coaches at that cost is just freaking insane. Sarah is going to be leading a workshop on teaching us about the subconscious mind. And then she's going to go into hot seat coaching, where you are going to have the opportunity to receive direct coaching guidance from Sarah. And even if you do not want to speak up and talk on the call, there is a special kind of magic that's made in these group coaching containers when she's doing hot seat coaching that I have witnessed myself, where even if you're not speaking, the universe grants you the perfect experience to witness someone else's healing that is a direct mirror for something that you're going through. So what I mean by that is, if you're not wanting to talk on the hot seat coaching or speak up on the call, even you witnessing someone else going through the process that she brings people through will lead to profound levels of healing, because it's going to act as a mirror for something that you can possibly heal within your own subconscious. So this workshop is going to be freaking magic. So if you are interested in joining us for our April workshop, head down to the link that's in the show notes and you can check out the sign up for the Omi's Oasis. And just to give you guys some more details, the April workshop will be on April 28th, which is a Sunday, at 9 a.m. PST, 12 p.m. EST. And we cannot wait to see you there.
I want to hear more about your, in terms of either what you've experienced recently, or because like that expansion for you of realizing that it's not just about like art and painting or whatever, and that it's tied to every other thing that we do, and like any shifts you've had with that recently.
I feel like for me and my journey, I'm on this journey of like creating this, I guess I'll tell the listeners, I'm creating an online course. I hate the word course, but that's essentially what most people would perceive it as. These like activations where I'm really like pouring my whole freaking heart and soul with pretty much like everything that has been the foundation of what has allowed me to like shift into this timeline where I'm like, this is it. Like, I am in alignment with my soul. Wow. And it's going to evolve and change, but like, I feel like I'm like freaking in it. And it's an incredible feeling. And I'm just gathering all this information that I'm learning through other sources. I'm gathering information that I'm channeling, and I'm putting it into this freaking like 6 or 7 step. I can't decide if there should be one more yet. And as I'm creating this, it is the most beautiful process where I feel like I'm literally birthing a child. I told you this the other day, I texted it to you. And that feeling that you were describing before of like feeling high after you're creating something is coming through. And I've never really experienced that before because I'm being so consistent with it. I'm like showing up, and it feels so freaking magical to like have ideas come through you. And then you like sit there and like make it into a format that would be like digestible for someone, or it's just like putting a puzzle together. And it's so freaking fulfilling and magical. Mm. To know that like everything I'm piecing together is going to help someone shift in their consciousness and shift right. something in their life. And this whole process for me has been a journey of getting to know myself on deeper levels, getting to know my resistance on deeper levels. And it's also getting to know like the processes that allow me to tap into my creativity. So if you're listening and you are on a creative venture, throw away any rules of what works for someone else, because I've realized in the past, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to go like work out, do my thing, and like sit at my desk, and I'm going to like get these ideas out and work on my laptop and do this thing. And I've realized that I actually feel really freaking creative in the morning, and I feel really freaking creative when I'm watching Gaia content, when I'm listening to a podcast. And I've realized all these beautiful ideas that are going into my creation are coming through my channel at the most like random times that don't really fit in the box of like what I was forcing myself to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
So now when I wake up in the morning, I wake up really early, and I just, my eyes open in the morning, and I feel this like creative surge of energy inside of me. And I feel like it's what you experience at night, except I experience it in the morning.
Yeah.
And I can't close my eyes again. I have to get up, and I come straight to my office, and I sit down, and I just like, I take out my phone, I put my headphones on, and sometimes I'll watch a YouTube video. Sometimes I'll just like listen to music, and I'll write in my journal. Sometimes I'll make a post on Canva. Sometimes I'll literally sit there and work on my activation, like watching a Gaia thing, or just like reading a book and also creating the course while I'm doing it. And yeah. it's not planned in the way that I thought it would be. It's very intuitive and flowy. And I'm just, when I'm feeling that energy, I'm acting on it.
Wow.
And it's really energizing, because then I go up about my day and I feel like, whoa, like I just got so much more done than I would have if I like forced myself to sit down and logically think about what I'm putting in these slides and all these things. Yeah. And it's flowing through me. And I think that's the dance that you get to have with your creative process. It's like, what works for me? What activates me? Like for you, it's actually dancing. And for me, it's being inspired by like outside sources. And that literally activates a level of remembering in me. But I think that's specific to what I'm creating. Like I'm creating something that is information that is direct with people's remembering journey.
Right.
So when I'm taking in content or videos that are also helping me remember, that activates my channel in that specific way of remembering. And then I'm able to be like, oh my God, this is what I want to teach people.
Right.
It's my thoughts are scattered now, but it's been such a beautiful process. Like that energy, like you said, of just feeling high on that creative energy, it's insane. It's crazy. Like this is my first time in my life that I'm really doing it, because in the past I would let resistance get in the way. So now I'm like fucking showing up. I'm embodying the person that gets it done. And it's so ironic, because that's like what I'm making this like activation for, is for like the embodiment process of like stepping into that timeline.
Right.
And here I am, like I had to do it in order to teach it.
Yes. I mean, I'm glad you brought up resistance, because what I was going to say is it's so key, and it makes so much sense that you're getting the hit of the urge, but then you're acting on it. And so many people get into a habit of, they get an idea or they get inspired, and then they let it fizzle away and they don't do anything with it, either because they've built a habit of thinking that it's not actually like inspiration or it's not going to lead to a good idea, or they just like think it's not good, or like, you know, whatever number of things that resistance takes on so many different forms. And if you are curious to learn more about resistance and kind of bring more color to it, that's where the War of Art by Stephen Pressfield is so key, because he completely illustrates like the different forms that resistance takes on. And it can be like, it can be actually like being productive in other ways, or like always finding, you know, an excuse of like, oh, I need to like take care of the kids, or I need to like clean the kitchen now instead. And that's resistance, is just putting something between you and the thing you want to do. And then when you finally listen and act on it, right? Like for me, when I get inspiration at night, there's a voice in me that is like, you have to get up and write this down. Like I'll be in bed getting something and I'm like, oh fuck, this is, I have to write this down. And then Milan just like sees me leave the room and I'm just like, fuck, I gotta get this one down. But like, that is the habit that you have to build, and trust that when you're getting that hit, you're like, this is my creative intelligence coming through me. I need to work with it. I need to be with it. And if you repeatedly just like leave it to the side or don't give it credit, then like, yeah, that's how you get out of that flow. And then the opposite is you don't give into resistance and you do the creative act, and then it creates this whole spiral of that energy that keeps you going and lights you up and makes you feel high. And then you're like getting all these things clicking, and the project you're working on, you're seemingly getting like the missing piece to it and channeling it, or the inspiration comes from the right show at the right time.
Yeah. I feel like the resistance for me, healing my subconscious, was a really big part of that journey. Like when I first moved to Arizona, I went back into my subconscious healing. I was so deep in it for like 2 years before moving here. I was just like on a freaking journey of dissolving these perceptions, and it benefited me immensely, which is why it's such an important part of like my methodology of teaching. But lately I've been feeling so free because I think I took the time to really address the resistance prior to jumping into the journey.
Yeah.
And now I know exactly what to do when it's coming up, because for me personally, my resistance was rooted in believing that my art wasn't worthy enough to be seen, or it wasn't good enough, or it wouldn't have enough impact. And healing my subconscious allowed me to see that, like, first of all, what even is like being enough? That was like such a belief that I had. And working with just like that belief in totality and seeing it just at face value of like, we say this all the time, like, I'm not enough. Like, I don't think I'm good enough. Like, enough of what? Like, right. Literally enough of what?
Yeah.
And I just went into this whole realization of like, I think I'm like enough, and like my words are worthy, and I'm actually a really powerful freaking channel, as we all are, and my art deserves to be seen and heard, and I know it has such potential for impact on this collective. And having that subconscious healing journey and dissolving that perception allowed me to really own my gifts and to say, like, this is my gift. Like, I have an ability to say something that allows people to have a really big perspective change. And it's a disservice if I do not put this out there. Yeah. And it's not really even about me. It's about me transmuting these words in a way that allows people to have that like, holy fuck, aha moment type of thing. So
yes.
I think the resistance, you can go into it further to really like alleviate it. But then you also have to know your tendencies when you're actually in the creative process and you're in that flow. I feel the tendencies. Like, I'll be sitting at my computer and I get this like ping in my body of like, pick up your phone. Like, you can go scroll for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2:40. It's 2:41. Okay, scroll till 2:50. Like, just pick up your phone. And I feel that. And now that I'm aware of those tendencies, like how you were saying, the resistance can show up as just you putting something in between you and the process.
Yeah.
With that awareness and with the embodiment journey that I'm on, like, I have now become the person that can feel that urge and then not pick up the phone. Like, I'm just not that person anymore. And when you tell yourself that and you know your tendencies and you're able to like be conscious enough and you're at that point of like self-awareness of noticing and not just like being victim to the automatic behaviors, then you can deal with the resistance within the process in a much more powerful way.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's basically, you know, where it is truly coming from. So you can get to the root, and then because of that, you're like taking the, you know, the weed out of where it's coming from. So it doesn't flower the same.
How do you deal with that resistance?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been similar, where it's both like, sometimes I think there's been seasons where it was just a matter of, like, I think basically there's been times where by just quote unquote pushing past the resistance, it like healed the root that was causing the resistance. Yeah. But then also sometimes by doing like the deeper healing work of, you know, like this whole journey I just went on with hypnotherapy, like that was hugely connected to my creativity. Almost in a way, I almost didn't realize what it was going to cause and how much resistance it was going to remove. So that was an instance where I needed to go deep and within, and I needed to understand what belief systems and feelings and perspectives I was having on myself that were then being projected out onto my reality, and that were also affecting how I showed up, like on the dance floor, on the podcast, or as myself, or whatever. And so doing that healing work led me to then tap into my gifts. And then there's been other times when I think just when resistance comes up, and just giving it kind of like the F you and being like, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm going to go do like the creative thing I would like to do, that in and of itself is also healing, because it just, it contributes, I think, to rewiring the way that you are relating to yourself and those voices. And so you're starting to train yourself to listen to the intuitive soul creative voice versus like the ego resistance voice. And that in and of itself, I think, is very, very healing. So I think, yeah, I guess it's been both. And I definitely think for me, something that has just been relevant on my personal path is been doing a lot of the, just being like someone who has an action bias. Like if I have the idea, just start doing it and start putting it together. And that has created like a tendency to not let resistance get in the way. And then I think it becomes more obvious when there is something else that is deeper that needs to be addressed.
Wait, okay. So I believe everyone has their own powerful way of healing subconscious perceptions. And there's not one way to do it. And like what you're describing is literally the creative process, using the creative process as subconscious healing.
Right.
Yeah. And that is so freaking powerful, because if someone's heart lies within that journey of being a creative, that's going to be an avenue for them to heal those perceptions. So totally. That's just so freaking powerful.
Yeah. Well, it's even like, you can even just think about it that the, let's call it like the action bias route would show you the things that are going to come up. Like when you are creative, it's a mirror for all of your insecurities and your fears and your doubts and the things that you think you're not good at, or when you think you look funny or you suck at it. Like all of that comes up by just being creative. So it's like you almost get the data faster of what is going on that you would like to heal effectively, or to like go deeper into the healing work, by facing yourself in the mirror, because that is what happens when you create. I think that is what makes it so healing, is that it both is showing you what you have within you and then also giving you a direct avenue for healing it at the same time. Like the, what's that saying? It's like there's some saying about,
give me a word so I can help you.
I know. Sorry. It's something that has something to do with like the poison is the medicine, or like the cure is the something. Fuck. I can't remember. There's some saying
to something.
I don't know. It's something like, it's along the lines of that Chris Williamson quote. That's like, the magic you're looking for is in the work you're avoiding. Like it's some shit like that. Yeah. No, it's not that one, but it's something like that. Anyway.
But I do think there's a small nuance of the potential for the healing in the process. Not that there is like the level of healing you get is determined by your level of awareness when you're dealing with the resistance. So let's say you're like going to post on Instagram, and all of a sudden you're like, oh God, I don't think I'm good enough. Like I'm going to just like freaking post it and like go through the creative journey, but like I'm still like not feeling good enough, but I'm just going to put it out there. Ooh. In that moment, you can have a higher level of consciousness that will lead to deeper healing if you sit with yourself for a moment to right. transmute that energy and then post it. So like I was sharing in, I think, a TikTok that I just posted and an Instagram where I was talking about the wrapping paper that you put around your action. You can coat your action in the energy of lack, or you can coat it in the energy of like confidence and knowing,
yes.
and just like wholeness and love. And if you just take a moment in that like resistance and think to yourself, why am I feeling this resistance? Like, what am I believing about myself that's causing me to feel this way? Oh, I think that if I post this, then no one's going to resonate with it. And then I'm going to make that mean something about me. Like, and then yes. you can go through that process and feel in your body the wholeness that you are, and then hit post as soon as you're like, no, I'm good. I'm going to fucking send it. And then the result doesn't actually sway you as much.
Okay. I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is like one time we were talking about the whole, can be a dynamic of being worried what other people are going to think, and how there's a phase of healing that fear of what, basically fear of being seen or fear of what other people might think, where you're actually creating from, it's like what you're saying of that idea of you're about to post, you're about to create, you're about to whatever. And you're having that thought of like, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? And you choose, let's say you choose to do it anyway, but you're actually doing it from that energy of all you know is to just sort of be like, well, whatever the opposite of caring is, I guess I'm going to post and create. But you're right. still coming from, which is what you're saying, the energy of that lack. So by bringing in the higher awareness, then you get to a point where it actually, the thought of what are they going to think completely disappears and is replaced with like either the opposite or almost more the more like helpful replacement would be just being from a place of wholeness and just focusing on the art itself and the message, and the idea of what people are going to think is not even in the arena with you versus that's the key of the awareness part, because if not, you're still creating from an ego protection lack thing, and that's where you're actually creating for the people that you're afraid of versus creating for who you really intended to, or for why you made it in the first place.
Oh, I see. I used to do that too on my Instagram too. It's like making content for the people that are like in resistance to these teachings. And then one day I woke up and I'm like, why am I talking to not my ideal client and not my audience? Because in the act of the creation, you're thinking about the person who would give you the most, the greatest resistance of taking in that information or that perspective. It's just a very interesting journey. And then your creation becomes way more pure, and you're actually able to like disconnect and detach from any sort of result, and you don't make results mean something about the truth of your being. I feel like that's another thing with the creative journey, when maybe you're at the beginning of your journey and you're not feeling like it's being seen, or you're creating and like no one's actually receiving it. You got to come back to your why of like why it is you're doing it, and to remember that the creative process is more about your own personal evolution and who you're becoming. And then as people start to see it, the impact hits, but it still is so important at the beginning of your journey. Even if people are not seeing it, there's an energy feeling it and seeing it, and
totally.
It will be received in divine timing.
Yeah. It's making me think too of almost the Miley Cyrus thing we were talking about, was where just an example of artists that there's no question of their creative genius and talent, etc., but you can tell when they're creating out of, which there's a time and place for this, but when they're creating out of like an anger or like a response to their haters, so to speak, versus when they're creating purely from just because this is something that they want to be putting out there, which again could be, it can be really divine to create art like from a place of anger or sadness or grief. Like there's so much incredible creations that come actually from pain and like that feeling of being broken or whatever it is, but it's energetically has a different like sort of sense to it when it's like alchemizing pain for a sort of like higher creative purpose versus responding out of like, fuck these people, I'm going to make what I want, but that you're actually making something for
right.
the people who you don't want to make that for. Make it
yes.
for.
Which I guess is divine in a way, because then you go through yeah. the journey of like realizing like this energy doesn't
for sure.
feel good anymore.
Yes.
But yeah. I had something that I wanted to say before about resistance. Oh, okay. So I had this like theory come through as you were talking, where I feel like when you're in the initial stages of the creative journey where you just received the idea, maybe you got the hit of starting your own health account on Instagram, or you have this vision of becoming a meditation teacher, but you haven't even done any courses or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like a intuitive hit. Or maybe you're an artist, if you want to take this more in like a actual like artist way, and you have the idea for the creation, but you just haven't even like put out the pencils yet. When you're at that point, the resistance is more sneaky yeah. and it's more hidden, and it comes in the form of like, I don't like the word self-sabotage because it sounds so negative, but like you stand in your own way in it's more hidden. Like
yeah.
you'll just suddenly have something to do, or you'll suddenly be so busy, or like work will pick up and there's just no time for you to actually do the thing.
Yeah. Or you get sick.
Or you get sick. Yeah.
You literally get sick.
You just like
yeah.
manifest all these ways of like not having time to do the thing, or feeling stressed or whatever. And as you go deeper down the journey, maybe you get to the point of like, okay, you get over that resistance, and then it's like, okay, you make the Instagram account, you're posting, and now you're getting the resistance of like actually posting every day, and then that shows up as like a little bit of like the resistance gets more like the urge to pick up your phone when you're in the middle
yes.
of the creative process, whereas mm-hmm. at the beginning it's like more around worthiness and like, am I
right.
even capable of doing this?
Yeah.
But that belief will remain unless you become conscious of it. It will just manifest in like more nuanced ways. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What I'm trying to explain?
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard a great kind of visual that Stephen Pressfield describes for this, where he's like, the shadow of resistance, so the size of resistance is greater. It's like if you imagine how tall or big you perceive your goal to be, that will create a bigger shadow of resistance over it. So even as you get more clear on what that goal is, that then the resistance takes on more of like a visual, tangible form. But then like you're saying at the beginning, or just when you're getting those first, you know, remnants and pings of inspiration, it's more sneaky and subtle. And then when you get more deeper into it, that's when you're really starting to face like the shadows and the parts of you and the resistance that's going to come up because you finally got over the first hump of actually sitting down to do the thing.
Right. Like at the beginning, what someone would deem as resistance, they probably wouldn't even think of it as resistance. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like,
yes.
Like,
totally.
Oh no, like I actually didn't have the time. I just like didn't even start it yet.
Right.
No. Like you're dealing with an immense amount of inner resistance because you don't believe you're good enough. Like,
yes.
It's,
yeah.
Oh, there's always a deeper reason. But yeah, you've been such an inspiration for me with this creative journey. And I don't know what I would do without having like our friendship and having you to talk about this with, because in the past I would get eaten up by resistance and I wouldn't actually do the thing. And now that I have all this awareness around the creative journey, I'm like, okay, there's like a process to deal with this.
Right.
And you just have the awareness and you freaking go for it. And it's
yeah.
making life so much more fun and enjoyable, and this process of like putting something out to the world a lot more, just like there's more ease and flow with it. Is there anything that's still like alive for you on this topic of resistance? Or let's leave it at this. What would be your like top three tips for someone that's dealing with creative resistance?
This is a great question, because someone actually just commented on, I posted a video about how creativity can heal you the other day, and someone asked how to like get out of a creative rut. And I was thinking now that
I've asked you this before.
yeah. I think sometimes a creative rut is like resistance being funny. It's like kind of making us think that we don't have ideas. And I feel, let me think about how I want to explain this. Okay. So something you can think about that I have found very helpful from human design and understanding the body graph and the way that energy moves through our body is when you initially get inspiration, it comes through the crown, and we call the crown center is a pressure center because it creates a sense of, you know, needing to think or do or meet this deadline, right? The two pressure centers is the crown and the root. The root also creates pressure, and it's more pressure to survive or achieve or get to places on time, etc. So when inspiration comes in through the crown, it creates pressure. The energy wants to move. The main place that it starts to move to is to the mind, where you would start to conceptualize or ask questions or get answers or make a plan. The energy wants to continue moving. So if you're getting inspiration and you're cutting it off and you are passing it through the mind, but passing it through the doubtful mind and through the mind that is going to say, you know, this is dumb or this is silly or I don't have time for this or how do I even make this happen from A to B? This is such a crazy idea. You're stopping the flow of energy like before it even gets started. So for one, if you're having a lot of resistance, you're in this creative rut, ask yourself, like, you know, how can I facilitate the flow of energy once I do have even an ounce of inspiration? Even if it's inspiration for the dumbest thing ever, like, just let that thing flow. Like, if you get an idea and you think it's interesting, write it down so it at least moves a little further down the line. It at least goes into your crown, through the head, and out your throat, and you speak it, or like you write it out in your hand. So just like facilitate the flow a little bit, and it can be for something irrelevant, quote unquote relevant. So I feel like for one, it's being in that flow of the detached state of like, just make something and facilitate something going from a thought form to physical form via writing or tell a friend about it, send a voice note on it, take a picture, fucking whatever. So that's one, is like, you might just be blocking the flow of energy that is coming through you, because we always have inspiration coming, but we block it or we don't listen to it. And that's how we create like literally kinks in the hose. And so things are then not coming through anymore. So I think that's one thing.
I feel like also doing it without the expectation of sharing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're just doing it messy and it's just detached, and it's just to like
get it out.
Yeah, just get it out. Just like get it from here or wherever it's coming to you from, and just turn it into something, even if that something is literally telling your partner like, oh, I just got really inspired about blank. Okay, great. Like, you move the energy just a fucking millimeter. Like,
yeah,
it didn't turn into anything. Like, just let it move a little bit.
That's really helpful to think about, because it's in those moments of resistance where you just keep telling the story that you're in resistance.
Yeah.
This is like what I was doing when I was asking you like months ago. I'm like, I just have no creative energy. Like, nothing's flowing through me. And then I just like kept repeating that to myself. And then I wouldn't do the thing. It's like, you got to change the self-perception of like, right, oh no, I'm not in a creative rut. I'm going to facilitate it right now. Here we go. Look, I wrote a sentence down. Creativity.
Yes, exactly. And then that just like gets the hose running a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think then that's where, okay, you have it going, you're in the mode, and like, you know that you have ideas, whatever, and they're sort of flowing, and then resistance is coming up. And I think then that's where probably some of the stuff we talked about starts to become relevant, where you need to bring the awareness of, is this just a question of taking more action, making the time, you know, getting rid of the excuses, and having better priorities or boundaries, or making a schedule, getting up 30 minutes earlier to work on it. Like, is it an action thing, or is it a deeper belief system? Is it something that you inherently think about yourself in terms of considering yourself even creative, or is this even possible? And I think the, yeah, awareness and contemplation around how you perceive your own ideas and goals and visions, and then figuring out like, is it a function of action or healing energy, etc. And then that kind of helps to nurture like the process itself. Now that you know things are going, you're like, okay, I just want to nurture this process better, and I need to do that through, you know, I need someone to like coach me through this or help me, or I need to pick up a book on it to get more inspiration that gives me more ideas, or I need to just, you know, finally fucking invest in this idea I have, like basically the balance of action or energetic spiritual healing.
There was a part in the book when we were just, oh, there it is. It's still on that page. It's reminding me of what we're talking about now. Breath itself is a potent vehicle to calm our thoughts, create space, and tune in. It cannot guarantee that inspiration will come, though the vacancy may draw the muse into play.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that and it connects to what we're talking about of feeling like you're in that creative rut where maybe also like don't put the expectation of yourself. Don't put the expectation on yourself that you have to even think of a creative idea.
Right.
You could also focus on just like stillness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like the idea could come later. I feel like that's what Jenny says too, of like even if you're opening your channel in the moment and something doesn't drop in now, like you are creating the space for it to drop in later.
Right, the intention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that was a powerful conversation. I feel like this is really activating for anyone that is dealing with that resistance. And I just want to share, like, you're not alone. You ain't alone. It's something we all go through. And I think that's why the creative process is so healing, because you learn how to deal with your resistance. You learn how to bump up against your own walls.
Yeah. Yeah. I really want to
close
that.
Us out.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for listening. We would love, 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 love to hear if this resonated with you, especially because this is such a dynamic conversation. There can be so much to be said and the experiences are also so personal. So if you're working on something or you have experienced resistance or wherever you're at with your creative journey, send us a message and let us know how this landed. And if you have more questions, because we'd love to keep the conversation going. And yeah, also if you're at a point where you're looking for more support, know that Nikki and I both offer lots of different ways of support, one-on-one mentorship, coaching. We'll both have programs and we have a group community membership with the podcast, which is an amazing supportive group of souls who are all inherently creative, as we know. So don't forget, you're not alone. If you are seeking more support, we are more than happy to be those people for you. So yeah, thank you for listening. Share this with a friend and don't forget to subscribe and like and do all the things, please. It helps us a lot. And yeah, love you guys. Thank you for tuning in.
Bye.